Have you ever looked at something and thought, gee, I wonder what's inside that? Well, today's guest on Tube Talked has wondered exactly that and decided to film it and then put it onto YouTube. Yes, it's Dan Markham from What's Inside with his main channel with 6.8 million subscribers, What's Inside's family channel's 1.4 million subscribers, over 300,000 followers on Instagram, 200,000 on Twitter, and many, many more on TikTok. So Dan is clearly positioned to give us all the tips and tricks of building an audience, building a following, and absolutely rocking it on YouTube. Let's do this.
Welcome to Tube Talk, the show dedicated to helping you become a better video creator so you can get more views, subscribers, and build your audience. Brought to you by vidIQ. Download for free at vidIQ.com.
And welcome to another episode of Tube Talk. My name is Liron Segev. I'm a tech blogger, a YouTuber, and the director of customer success here at vidIQ, where every day we help creators big and small level up their channels, get more subscribers, more views in less time. So as you know by now, one of my favorite things to do is to find these amazing content creators and pick their brains. Ask the questions we want to know. How do they get to that success? What lessons can they teach us? What did they do wrong so we can avoid those pitfalls? And one of those amazing creators is, of course, Dan Markham from What's Inside. So Dan, thank you very much for spending time with us on Tube Talk. Really appreciate you being here. So for those who don't know, someone walks up to you at a party and says, hey, they don't recognize you. And they go, wow, Dan, I believe you have a channel. What do you do on your channel?
It's a tricky one. I'll give you the short version because I feel like a lot of people already know our story a bit. But it started off with a second grade science project that my son wanted to know what's inside of sports balls. And really, he could have answered any scientific question ever. And he just wanted to know what's inside of sports balls. So we cut those open. And he did his presentation. And because I was in sales back in the day, every kid had to give a presentation. I'm like, Lincoln, you're going to get the best grade if you can have at the bottom and say, if you want to see my dad cutting these open, you can go to my YouTube channel. So we just created this YouTube channel. Today, if you still go to youtube.com/Lincoln Markham, that's our What's Inside channel. And so anyway, about a year after, we didn't give much thought to it. About a year later, it made $4 in one day in ad revenue. And I got to thinking, you know, people search on YouTube for questions more than they do on even Google. What if we just keep answering these questions on the internet and then people will click on it? So anyway, that was kind of the genesis of it. From that point that we decided to make it a channel, it took about a year to hit 1 million subscribers. And then about 6 months after that, 18 months into it, I quit my day job and just went all in with YouTube. So
was there a big aha moment where you decided, wow, this is what I want to do?
It's so funny because somebody asked me that the other day, somebody that was just starting on YouTube. Well, he has about 10,000 subscribers. He's a professional basketball player. And he was like, when was that moment that you knew you had something?
Yes.
And it sounds really weird, but that day when we made the $4, I was like, this is it. Like, we're going to make enough passive income. Back then, I didn't think about having people that actually watched you and followed you and were part of your life. But I'm like, we'll be able to have money, makes money while you sleep. So that was kind of the moment when I'm like, this is it.
there is something here.
Yeah.
And it's funny how a lot of people actually say this. And if you guys listen to previous episodes, you'll know I've spoken about this a lot, where sometimes people just create content. They love what they do. They share their passion in the world thinking this is just a hobby. But there's a moment in time that comes and go, hold on a second. This is a thing. I can actually do something with this. And as we know, when we travel to events, we buy equipment, stuff costs money. So there's nothing wrong with a little bit of added revenue coming in, kind of helping you supplement all of that.
Yeah, and I can't say that my passion in life was going to be cutting things open. There's no way. But I did go to business school at Arizona State University. I loved finance. I loved entrepreneurship. And I knew I wanted to own my own company. Right. And it's really interesting, as a YouTuber, you're definitely an entrepreneur and you own your own company. Oof. And there's everything that, same things that you have if you owned a Jimmy John's down the street, you have the same kind of questions and you're running a business same way. So
okay, so again, magic keywords here. It's you're an entrepreneur, you're a business owner. When you have a YouTube channel, stop thinking of this as, oh, this is just a thing that I happen to be doing. You've got to start thinking as a business, because if it's a business, you start measuring return on investment, you start measuring stuff that's going to make you more.
Yeah, and I think one of them is, yes, you can go with what you're passionate about, whether it's cooking or it's fishing or snowboarding or riding a helicopter, whatever it is that you're passionate about, you could probably make a successful YouTube channel with it, but you can't just be all passion. You also have to go and do your research. As soon as we decided this might be a thing, let's start doing it, I started going into Google and typing in YouTube SEO, search engine optimization. What can I do? And I would just pull up all the articles, and I would do this every 3 days. I would look to see if there's any new articles or blog posts that people did. I would go and read like old PDF files from VidCon to read people's talks. And so like that research side of it, it's just like competitive intelligence or whatever it would be in any type of business. You need to know your own business and know your competitors. And I had to learn, do those things to try to make the platform like us in a way. So well,
and make it work for you. And do you find that doing like a SWOT analysis, like the strength, weaknesses, opportunities, SWOT with a T, threats.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew there was another T there. Do you find that that's still something that people should be doing, kind of understanding the landscape?
If you've never done one, I've done so many. I was in sales for 12 years for a drug company, and I always struggled with the actual like putting everything in the bucket of everything. But I always had this knack for like finding the low-hanging fruit and kind of deciding like, okay, this is something, here's an opportunity that I don't have to work as hard for, but a lot of people aren't doing, and we can hopefully grow in this area. So it's definitely a useful thing to do, but yeah.
And do you think it's still relevant today?
For sure. If you have a hard time like trying to figure out how your business runs or like how to analyze the business, a SWOT analysis could be a good thing.
Okay. And that good old research you've said, low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many times people are so trying to copy everybody else. And typically you look at the biggest channels and you try to become a me too. And that never works.
It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. There are some people can be super successful with it, but is that going to work in the long run? Like, there's times as a YouTuber, it doesn't matter how much money you're making, where you're going to lose your drive and your passion. And you're going to be like, I don't really know that I want to film today. Right. And so if you're just copying somebody else completely and doing their stuff, then unless money drives you completely, you're probably going to lose some passion and you're going to have a hard time making these videos, and then your fans will feel it. You're not going to be as authentic. And so we've struggled with that sometimes. Huge trends will come, and like the Nintendo Switch came out originally and it was going to be huge. We got it 3 days early. We had this thing and we could have torn it apart and made a video. It would have gotten millions of views. We'd have made a lot of money. And Lincoln's like, Dad, I really don't want to destroy this. Like, I kind of want to just keep it and play with it.
Enjoy it.
And I'm like, all right, let's do that. All right. So sometimes, even though there's trends and even though there's things that you can make a ton of money on, you want to do things, you still want to stay with what you're passionate about. And those worlds can work together. Like right now, we've got a lot of issues going on. I don't know when this is going live, but like the whole world is shutting down. And we went to the grocery store the other night and there's no toilet paper anywhere. Well, we just built this home and we have the brand new home and we have these bidets that we put in. We haven't published the video. We're planning on publishing it in a few months. Now I'm like, honey, tomorrow we're filming the bidet video and we're going to tie it in because it's a relevant trend. So even as the world is going away, you can still educate people and entertain them in a way, in a good way. I have a closet in there that has so many things that we could cut open that maybe aren't as relevant right now, but in the future, like something will happen and it's like, all right, we got to drop this video right now. And so we've done that in the past a lot, and that's helped us do things that we're passionate about, but also stay relevant and just be ready to be quick.
And relevant to your channel as well and to your core values, which are also super important. So it's about understanding the trends that are going on around you in world news, because obviously YouTube loves that and likes to promote that, but also being sensitive, right? Because you don't want to be newsjacking absolutely everything and then you have issues. But it's nice how you came up with an idea based on something that's going on with the whole toilet paper thing. People instantly will understand that. And you've made it something that you can actually do.
Yep.
Are you going to cut up, open a bidet?
We have all of the parts that we got from Kohler. That's all the parts for the bidet. It's a $5,000 toilet. We have a couple of them in our house. So we don't have to tear apart our actual toilet, but it'll work. And, you know, I remember back about a year and a half ago, there was the NBA had a shoe that got banned. And we already had a shoe that had been sitting in our closet for like a year and a half. That was a banned NBA shoe from like 7 or 8 years ago. And it had just been sitting there. We're like, someday we're going to do this. All of a sudden I saw this news article. Wow. We filmed it that night. We edited it all night. We published a video the next day about NBA banned shoes. And it was like totally relevant and it kicked butt. But if we would have done it a month earlier, probably may not have done as well.
So timing
can be important. We filmed videos where we'll hold on to them for 6 months. Where like World Cup is coming up in 6 months. All right, let's film a video on this about the World Cup soccer ball. And then we published it on the night that the first game was going, got 20 million views in a week. Wow. It was one of like the most trending videos of that year. A lot of US YouTube creators didn't make videos around the World Cup because U.S. wasn't in it, and there's not as much of a desire for people to look at World Cup. So yeah, there's sometimes you can come up with video ideas that are kind of ready to go for certain moments, and then also have keep an eye on the news and publish things that are relevant.
And so, do you do lots of forward planning? Like, do you look at your social calendar and say, okay, Mother's Day is coming up, Christmas is coming up, all of those?
For some of the big ones that are relevant, like a lot of sporting events, because we just love sports already. Like the Masters tournament, the golf tournament just got canceled today. But we have a video that we're filming next week in San Diego that is going to be totally relevant to the Masters. It's awesome. It's so good. And I'm kind of like, oh no. We're still going to film it, and then we'll hold on to it for a bit, and hopefully the Masters will come back and at some point and we'll publish it. So there's definitely some sporting events and some big world events that we'll think of ahead, like the Olympics are coming up.
Exactly.
Like, it's a good thing to think about.
So. We hope they're coming up.
Yes, potentially. So I think there's ways to do that. I think I know some people that make food content, and they will film 8 or 9 months out already. I know a creator I talked to, actually Rosanna Pensino.
Yes.
She does food content. Yeah. She was speaking at a thing I was at in LA like a week or two ago. And she said that she's already been, this last week, she's been filming all of her Christmas stuff. It's all filmed for Christmas and for Thanksgiving. So like she's already got it all planned out. And so depending on the way your content is, obviously for a travel video, it may not work as well.
Sure.
But there's a lot of things you can do on YouTube that you can have some footage that's just kind of in the library, and then if you do get bored of your content or you're tired, you get burnt out, at least you have some stuff in the library you can throw out there.
Well, and you want to take a vacation, you want to take some me time, which is super important these days with so many people burning out. It's okay to be kind of a couple of videos ahead, and even have videos, which I didn't think of, videos which are only going to be relevant in December. But there's no reason why not filming it now when there's no pressure to film it.
Right.
As opposed to December when everybody's doing their Christmas videos, then you're under pressure to deliver again.
Right.
So that's quite
a golden nugget. And it opens you up for like whether brand, like a lot of times in the fourth quarter, brand deals just come out of nowhere.
No way, right.
And if you've already filmed, like you haven't filmed all your content and you're working on all this other stuff, maybe you can't take on as many brand deals. Or like we said with a key news thing, if you have a bit of a library, you can actually drop something quickly with that's relevant. So yeah.
All right, so let's turn back to your channel. Okay. You've cut up a lot of things, it's fair to say.
Okay. Yeah.
From kind of balls to Casey's play button, which is sitting behind us.
Yeah, so here's Casey Neistat's Diamond Award for 10 million subscribers. We cut it open, has his name on the back, but then he signed it and said, "To Lincoln, now and Dan, now we know what's inside," which obviously there's not much inside of there, but it was a really fun video.
So you've and including your beloved Tesla, you've cut up an engine recently.
Yeah.
Which must have broken your heart a little bit.
That was a fun one. It wasn't my own car, so it was all right.
So it was okay. Is there anyone that really comes out and sticks in your mind and go, wow, that was an amazing video that we cut up?
There's some that are really cool. And Lincoln and I were just talking about this like 2 days ago, and which is fun because he's really growing up. His voice is so deep.
Right.
He's maturing now. And
this has come a long way from the kid who did a school project. Right.
There's two of our favorites that come to mind right now that are super unique that maybe we haven't really seen on the internet. One of them is an exploding fire extinguisher ball. And they make these in Asia and they use them in some server rooms where they'll put them up in a room and then as fire hits it, it explodes. I saw this video on Facebook that was like some low quality training video where the people were testing these out. These firemen were throwing them in dumpsters and putting out the fire. And I'm like, we need to do a video on that. See what's inside of that ball and test it out. So we filmed that with Devin Supertramp. He got a phantom slow motion camera. I held the ball in my hand and it exploded like a bomb went off. It was so cool looking. And so in slow motion, it looks cool. It even cut my neck from the fuse coming across. And so that video is really interesting. There's another one that we love, and it's what's inside a rubber band ball. And so that's another one where I saw one little short video where a guy cut open his rubber band ball and was throwing it in a garbage can, and it kind of went viral on Facebook again. This was like 4 or 5 years ago. And I was like, what is that thing? It took me a few years until I found somebody that actually had one on eBay that they were selling for $400 or $500. He actually named it. He called it My Life because he'd spent so much time of his life on it. He lived in he had an apartment in Chicago, and he's like, it's growing too much. It's too big. It was like 50 or 60 pounds. So he sent it to me. We cut it open, and it was seriously like aliens were popping out of this rubber band ball, just like jumping out. And so some of those videos are super random, but they're so fun.
Well, it sounds like the ones that like meant the most to you, or the ones that you just saw the opportunity, and it just worked on your channel. You just did it bigger and better.
Yeah, and it wasn't, those weren't anything that was like a YouTube trend.
Yeah, right.
But you can do trends. Like one of them that was a big trend last year was what's inside a safe. And people would go and buy a safe and they'd bury it in their backyard and they'd do this whole show of, hey, well, we found a safe, and they'd stretch it out to like seven episodes. Right. And but about 2 or 3 years earlier, we were up in Alaska, and my father and my wife's grandfather had passed away maybe 5 years earlier, and he owned like all these restaurants and all these things. He had this warehouse with like old cars, and we were just up there on vacation, and Leslie's aunt says, we have this safe and we don't really want to pay a locksmith. I don't even know. It's like a 25-year-old safe. Do you think you could help me out and cut it open? I'm like, yeah, we could do that.
Kind of what we do.
We filmed it so quick and published it, and it went pretty viral. It did pretty well. And what's funny is right now, like 2 days ago, we published a short cut down of that on TikTok, and which is like old content. Just repurpose it, put it on there. It got 10 million views in 20 hours.
Wow.
And so like, and then we did a follow-up to that, and it got a bunch of views. So it's kind of fun to be able to take your old content and like look at the new platforms. I've never made one fresh, unique thing on TikTok, but yet I don't even know, like 40 million views maybe. And we have like 500,000 or 600,000 followers on there. And so that is one nice thing too. And then with Facebook, we've repurposed it on there and been able to make money off of it there too. So anyway.
Well, but that's great. So it's a great little tip. You've already done the work. It's already available. Why not repurpose it and try different stuff? You know, TikTok is being weird because it's not, you know, it's something that you're not used to and people are straying away from it. But here's a great example of taking something that works, cutting up into, 15, 60-second little slots, seeing what does.
Yeah.
Why not?
Right.
Got nothing to lose because you don't have a following anyway. So can't really go wrong.
Yeah.
So I heard you use the phrase edutainment a couple of times before, where it's a kind of a mixture of entertainment and education.
Right.
Do you think that's still relevant today, or are people kind of too busy playing to the algorithm to try kind of get those views?
I think that is the value, and I could go on about it, but I feel like also just from the YouTube sustainability platform, and not even YouTube, think about any video creating platform. If we're going to continue to compete with TV networks and with the government, who is the TV networks are like lobbying to get them to push aside all of the YouTubers and take away ad revenue from things. Yep. We need to add value because like if kids are really going to be out of school for the next few weeks, our kids are on spring break, but it sounds like they might even be home longer. They're going to be looking for something to do and something to watch. And how much better, like I think just like morally for first of all, to be able to give them something educational so they're not just doing mindless watching. But then I think it elevates the whole platform to have a little bit of education on there. And I know there's awesome creators that Lincoln and I have watched ever since he was, even before YouTube, like first grade, kindergarten, like Destin from Smarter Every Day. He's in that edutainment bucket, but he's more on the education side of things. And for us, we're kind of, I guess, more on the like entertainment, but then we throw in a few things of education. I think Mark Rober in the last few years has really grown in that space. And he's really kind of set the new standard of let's make something really, it's like the most educational content that people will watch that are not looking for educational context. He does it in such a fun way. And so, it's definitely a way to of course, you can get some views off of that, but it's a way for you to add value to the whole world in general.
And it's like the best kind of videos are the ones that you walk away and go, wow, that was amazing. Oh, and I've learned a whole bunch of stuff, you know, which is always great.
Who would have thought like cutting open a rattlesnake rattle, but nothing inside of it. But it turns out that was the educational piece and people were like, that is cool.
Right.
I learned something. I think of like Brave Wilderness a few years ago when he came on the scene and started just getting himself stung. Man, I don't recommend you do that, but it was great content for YouTube and it was super educational. We were in Costa Rica last spring and there were bullet ants there. And I knew exactly what it would be like if we got bit by a bullet ant because I'd seen Coyote Peterson's videos getting bit by that thing. So I'm like, kids, we're going to stay away from those. So
we're certainly not filming this video. It's been done.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've kind of collaborated with a whole bunch of people. You've traveled the world. Anything that comes to mind and going, that was an amazing trip, or this person really added so much more, changed the way we do things?
I think with collaborations, the way that Lincoln and I look at it is, and we've been burned a little bit in the past where we've looked at like, oh, for the business, this would make a lot of sense to have this make sense and do this collaboration with this person. And then they're really only in it for the business and maybe they don't like you as much as a channel or whatever behind the scenes. And so we've kind of made it a policy where we love collaborating with people, but we want to make, since I'm a father and my son's in it, I want it to be with people that I do like their channel, right. And I feel like it's adding value to the world, and or they're people that are really just great people and super kind. Of course, everybody wants to be successful and have their channel grow, but I want to find people that are really having fun and doing it well, and then also just content for collaboration that just makes sense. So yes. One of the people that you know really well is like Jace Bennett, the Ohana Adventure. Like we did a video with them where he's been watching some of our Tesla videos, decided it's time to buy his wife a Tesla. He'd saved up a bunch of money off of this side project that he had. And he's like, hey, I'm going to get it. And I'm using your referral code. I'm like, Jace, this is literally our 100th referral. Can I go with you and just like film that and then film that part of the process? And then you have your video and we'll push each other's way. And that video did really well for us. And I'm pretty sure it did really well for them too on their side of it. And it definitely like cross-pollinated our audiences in a way. And there was a lot of overlap in the type of audiences that we had. And it just, it helped. It was great content. And so yeah, some of the content that we look to do with collaborations is just content that works. Casey Neistat was getting the 10 million. YouTube said, we'll make you as many as you want. You can cut them open for us. And I'm like, we haven't earned it. That's right, terrible karma if we like cut open our own diamond award. And so I was like, let's see if Casey. So I reached out to Casey and I said, hey, if we made you an extra one, could we cut yours in half? He's like, absolutely. And so then we brought a sugar-based one. And at the end of our video, we pretended like it fell and it shattered and like Lincoln broke it and Casey was mad at him. And it was a perfect transition over to his video where we cut it open on his channel. Even though we're usually the ones that cut open the awards like on our channel, I'm like, we can cut it open on Casey's channel. It's his award, but let's have a tie-in on our video. And so I just love it when collaborations work where Lincoln has a blast, I have a blast. It doesn't feel like it's work or you're just making some video that's super lame, but you know the algorithm will like it. Like do stuff you love that could still work and work with really cool people, and it can work out.
And a lot of people kind of think that you will only, not you, but like the general people will only collaborate with people who are much higher subscriber count or the same subscriber count. Is that true, false?
I mean, there's definitely some truth to it, to where not every email that you get, you're going to be like, hey, this person. But people that provide enough value, you definitely would want to work with them. Like there's one that we did that comes to mind that's what's inside. It was right around the Olympics, the last Olympics, like the Brazil, I think it was in Brazil. And this guy reached out and said, hey, I ran track at Brigham Young University and I did pole vaulting. I have access. I talked to a local gym that trains for pole vaulting. They have a 15-year-old pole vaulting pit, like the big cushions that you land on, that they will give me. How about we do a video where he only had, I think, 500 subscribers. And we had like 2.5 million. and he's like, what if I come, I show you and Lincoln how to pole vault, let you try it. And then you guys could, we can destroy the mat however you want and whatever. And I immediately like called him. Like as soon as I read the email, I called him. I said, hey, Bobby, this is Dan. I would love to do it. Let's do it.
Wow.
And then we ended up getting Devin Supertramp was nice enough. He was like in his backyard and he came and helped film some of it. And Bobby was a huge fan of Devin. And so it's like his dream came true. He got a ton of subscribers, tons of followers. We had excellent content that was fantastic and really, really fun. We'd like jumped off of our house into the into the pit in the backyard. It was really fun. So yeah, if you're going to reach out to another creator, make sure you have something really good in mind. And also try not to get your feelings hurt too bad if they don't respond or they don't do it. Like there's, I don't want to say like, oh, we're so busy. We have so many emails and stuff, but it is a lot and we're still trying to plan out our regular content. And so, but yes, you can, if you have the right idea and the timing works.
It all makes sense. So. And again, that's why kind of meeting in person, going to events is also super important because you will cut through that clutter. When you've hung out with someone at an event, you've had some, you know, some lunch with them, it's a lot easier to kind of try and see if you're on the same page. Maybe there's an idea there. So we always encourage events, well, when they're not getting canceled at the stage.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Which is
but events super are great. Scrappy. I'm definitely, when people just say, hey, do you want to go to lunch? Like, I want to take you to lunch. I'm like, oh, no, I don't think I do that. But if we're at an event and somebody like actually, like if you have a YouTuber that you're following, you know they're speaking somewhere, how can you jump on a Southwest flight and fly for $180 down to Austin and buy a ticket to whatever event and like go in and see them and make some content around it and try to meet them? Maybe you don't meet them, maybe you do, but that's a good chance to be like, hey, I've got this idea, this is what I was thinking, blah blah blah, you did an awesome job at speaking, I love this and this and that, and then reach out to them.
And that's perfect. And even do the whole social media thing. If you tweet pictures of them on stage, because as a speaker the one thing we don't have is pictures of ourselves because we're taking of everybody else, right?
Yeah.
So when somebody's on stage and you kind of capture them, tag them, They'll see that. They maybe reply. Maybe they'll retweet. But at least you're on their radar. So when you do reach out, go, why does this name sound familiar?
Yeah.
And then you kind of go back and see.
I definitely had a person reach out that we took a picture together at one of the events. I don't remember which one. Maybe it was like VidCon or something. And they're like, hey, blah, 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 blah. This is what's going on. Oh, and by the way, I loved meeting you here. And they've included the picture of me and them together. Nice. And I was so much more likely to felt that personal connection. I'm like, this guy took the time to meet me and take a picture and whatever that took. I'm going to talk to him and see if we can find a way to work together. So, yeah.
All right. So as we're kind of wrapping up here, this is the question I like to kind of end with.
Okay.
The big question. So we've got all the negativity that's going on in the YouTube community space. These people think that it's one versus one. And that's, you know, the mindset's wrong, because if somebody can watch your channel, they can watch Casey's channel, they can watch my channel, doesn't mean somebody loses a view. You can get, and doesn't mean someone's going to be unsubscribed from one channel because they subscribe to another. So my question to you is, if you could put out a message in a tweet or an Instagram post or a billboard in Times Square that every single creator will see, what would that message be?
Oh, geez, that is a big one. What can you do? Gosh, that's a big one. It sounds so stupid, but the first thing that came to mind is be nice to other people. I know that sounds stupid, but even if you're copying somebody's content, give them credit for hey, this person, I love what they do here. We did this, or so we're doing this type of video based off of it. Give them credit instead of just fully on plagiarism doing the same thing on it. Even though there's enough room for everybody, it does make it sit a little better when you're able to do that.
And then
I know earlier on I was super insecure. I'm a 40-year-old man now almost. But originally when we first started, I'm like, oh man, this is where my revenue comes from. I don't want anybody else cutting anything open. And I would get angry inside whenever anybody would cut something open. I'm like, well, good. That's good they did that. I'll never work with them again kind of thing. And I've kind of changed it a bit now, where I've realized that Lincoln and I have become more of the draw in a way. And the way that we do things helps out. Of course, I don't want everybody doing the exact same thing we do. But at the same time, I'm really very comfortable with where we're at. And like you said, the YouTube platform is big. All these platforms are big. And if you can be authentic and be yourself and have people get to know you as a person, then on your YouTube content, and they come to see you because of your family or the way that you are, or the tips that you have on your channel, then you're going to be fine. Even if somebody tries to totally rip you off, just be confident in who you are. Don't leave room in there for the haters and all that stuff. But yeah, that's not one message. I am not very clear on one message, but
there was a couple of billboards. There wasn't one.
It was a novel.
But the message is there. You know, what I always like to say to people that are struggling and people that are thinking everything's against them, you know, the simple thing is, it will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. Right.
Keep
at it. So many people give up just way too early, and it's amazing how the YouTube platform works, where a video that's months old that you've forgotten about all of a sudden gets a pop, and all of a sudden reinjects that life. So you can give up at any moment, just don't give up.
And honestly, a lot of other platforms, I'm not trying to be negative on YouTube, but at this point right now, it seems like our older videos don't pick up as much steam as what they used to. They still will get some, but it's not like, oh, that video from 3 years ago is popping right now, just randomly. But on Facebook, on TikTok, even on IGTV, a lot of your older content can all of a sudden just pop. And you might be there I was at the airport. This is the first time this happened. This was last week. We were flying to Indiana. When are you publishing this video? Do you know? Soon?
Soon.
Okay.
Ish.
So I won't say exactly what the video is, because it's a sponsor. But we went to Indiana to see something really cool. And while right before we were going to the airport, right before we were going through the security thing, I went to buy just a water bottle from this guy. And right as he's checking out, he's giving my credit card back, and he looks up and he goes, oh my gosh, you're Dan from Electric Cars on Facebook. I watch you all the time. And I'm like, oh no, he goes, I know you. And I'm like, oh yeah, what's inside YouTube? And he's like, no, you're Dan from Electric Cars on Facebook. And that's the first time I've ever had that. We took our old content. It's 35 videos Tesla content. And when Facebook was letting you make pages a year and a half ago, we made an Electric Cars page. It's facebook.com/electric cars. It's our page now. And we just repurposed our content on there. We managed and cultivated that page with no fresh content, just our old stuff. And I think we have 400,000 followers. We made 70 or 80,000 last year just off of the ad revenue from that page. And it's just our old content, and stuff pops all the time. it's now the first time I've had somebody look at me and go, wow, you're that guy from Facebook that does electric car stuff. And he had no idea about YouTube. And so anyway, I bring that up because it's like, it may you go find some of the other platforms and do unique things on there, because you never know which thing is going to be your thing. You may be cutting things open. It may be doing something super random that you'll never expect, but try unique new things and like keep up with it and try to use the other platforms, and you should be able to find some success somewhere. But
perfect.
Don't quit your day job. Till Doug, I waited a long time.
Be smart. It's still a business at the end of the day. So treat it like a business. If people want to find you on social media, on YouTube, where can they do that?
Yeah, What's Inside. Pretty much everywhere. Just What's Inside. Yeah.
We've spoken enough.
Got it.
All right. All the links will be down in the description. If you're listening to this on the podcast platform, we, of course, will have the show notes. Everything will be transcribed. We want that SEO goodness. And we'll link everything over to Dan's channels. Dan, thank you very much for making the time. Really appreciate it. And for you guys, don't give up. Keep going. Share this episode with at least one other creator that's currently a little bit on the fence. Let them get inspired. And then we'll see you guys online. Thanks for hanging out.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tube Talk, brought to you by VidIQ. Head over to vidIQ.com/tubetalk for today's show notes and previous episodes. Enjoy the rest of your video making day.